Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been said about the waters of John's Gospel that a little child could easily stand in them, and yet just as easily, an elephant could drown in them. With the Lord's blessings on our labors, we'll try not to drown as we see what Jesus does with water in today's text. Now, to set the stage a little, the Old Testament prophets were looking forward to the Messianic age when the mountains would drip with sweet wine. The Jews imagined a single vine having 1,000 clusters and a single cluster 1,000 grapes, and each grape would be yielding 100 gallons of wine. The time of the Messiah would be a day of feasting and dancing as God provided for his people. And that's exactly what we see going on in today's gospel text. It turns out that a wedding was taking place in Cana of Galilee. Now, Cana was less than 10 miles from Nazareth. It was a couple hours walk up the road. Jesus' mother was at the wedding, and Jesus and his disciples had been invited. Now, Jewish wedding celebrations typically would last a week, and it was customary to have lots of leftovers. Having plenty of provisions was expected as a display of proper hospitality. Now, we don't know why, but the wine ran out at the wedding. So this was a major faux pas. Well, Mary went and mentioned the fact to Jesus. It's their first interaction together in the gospel, and we're a little surprised when Jesus responds to his mother with a rebuke. And it's not easy to translate. What do we have in common? Or why do you involve me, woman? Of course, it's not very familial or respectful to call your mother woman. There's a distance, it seems, between the two of them. And yeah, we're going to have to ask why that is. Now, Jesus reminds her, my hour is not yet come. Apparently, Jesus will be acting on his own timing and not on the timing of others. But what is this hour? And as harsh as Jesus' words seem, Mary, for her part, is not the least bit deterred. She instructs a servant to do whatever he tells them. Do you remember what John called Jesus at the very beginning of his gospel, just in the last chapter? He calls him the Word. It's the same word group in the Greek, lege and logos. Do you hear the relation there? Well, Mary tells the people at the wedding to act according to the word of her son, just as he tells them. And sure enough, as Mary had anticipated, we won't have to wait long. Jesus springs into action. There were 6 stone water jars there used for purification. Each contained 20 or 30 gallons. We've actually excavated 60 cisterns from the site that we think was ancient Cana, many of the same size as in our gospel text. And Jesus told the people to fill the jars with water. And they did, to the brim. Now, John does not narrate a miracle at this point, just the filling of the jars. Well, then Jesus had them draw some water and take it to the head waiter. And they do, just as Jesus' mother and he had told them. Almost as if in passing, John tells us, oh, and the water turned into wine. Well, the steward tasted it, didn't know from where it came, even as people won't know from where Jesus came. But we as readers of John's gospel know, because John told us at the very beginning from where Jesus came. Eternity. The steward reprimands the bridegroom for having kept the best wine until now. But later in the gospel, Jesus himself will be the bridegroom, and he has indeed kept the best until now. The Messianic age and its banquet is finally beginning, and it's all leading to the decisive hour. Now, John explains that Jesus revealed his glory at the wedding, and disciples believed in him. Well, in the paragraph just before, Jesus had told the disciple Nathanael, when he met him for the first time, that he'd already seen Nathanael under the fig tree. Well, how could he have known that? Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the king of Israel. Jesus answered, Daniel will be seeing far greater things than that. And we won't have to wait long. John tells us that Jesus revealing his glory at the wedding took place on the third day from that conversation with Nathaniel. God always does great things on the third day. You may recall that the glory of the Lord came down from heaven onto Mount Sinai on the third day when he gave his law to Moses. And even as the glory of the Lord came down on that third day, in our text for today, Jesus is revealing his glory. And yet, how many people at that wedding there would have realized what an incredible miracle had just taken place? I mean, he just went on drinking and partying as if nothing had even happened. It was all hidden behind the scenes. The heavens were opening, but who would have known it? The miracle stays hidden, and that's because it was never about the water turning into wine. It was a whole story. It was a sign. That's what John calls it. All the other gospel writers narrate miracles all through their stories. John narrates only seven. And he doesn't call them miracles. They're signs. Now, signs always point to something. In the pagan world, wine was connected with the god Dionysus. One writer describes how three empty pots had been sealed in a room, only to be full of wine by the next morning. Creating wine was what a god would do. As Jesus turned the water into wine at the wedding and revealed his glory, the disciples knew what had happened, even when others didn't. And they believed in him. The messianic feast had begun, but it was all hidden in a person standing right there, visible only to the eyes of faith. When we go back to the chapter before in John's gospel, John had started the whole story out with the words, "in the beginning." Of course, when you hear the words, "in the beginning," don't you think of the very beginning of the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was God. That's what you'd be thinking. But John throws us and begins with a twist. He says, "in the beginning was the Word," right when we were expecting God. But we won't be kept in suspense for long. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John narrates in chapter 1, 4 days in the ministry of Jesus, and the third day from that fourth day would be the sixth day, just like the 6 days of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and now, in the beginning was the Word. So what was the Word as God doing in John's gospel? I mean, he already created the heavens and the earth. What's he up to now? On this sixth day of new creation at Cana, Jesus showed his glory. And the disciples believed in him. Jesus is creating faith. And it's not just the disciples. Let's go back those loose ends with Mary. I mean, Jesus has been a little harsh with her, calling her a woman. And yet, thanks to the beginning of the gospel, we know that a cosmic battle is going on between the forces of light and darkness, and that Jesus is really from above. His origins go back to eternity, long before the time of his mother, a woman. Jesus is not ultimately from this world. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love Mary or care for her. He cares for her deeply, even in the midst of terrible suffering on the cross. We'll not be surprised at the crucifixion when Jesus entrusts his mother not to mere earthly brothers or sisters, but to his true family, the children of God. He will entrust Mary to his beloved disciple. A new family based not on natural or blood relations, but on what God is doing. God is creating a new family. Children of a different father. And Mary gets it. Despite Jesus' harsh words, she tells the people at the wedding to do whatever he told them. Mary's an example for us. She recognizes who Jesus is. And all before Jesus even done the miracle. She believes even without the miraculous sign. John's entire gospel is a reminder that our faith in Jesus Christ is the greatest miracle God has worked in his creation. No matter how many times you read or hear John's gospel, you keep hearing that one central message. Just like when God spoke and the world came into being, God continues to speak and the word is creating faith in our lives. I mean, sometimes we go looking for miracles in all the wrong places. I mean, why doesn't God intervene in our lives? Or why doesn't God answer my prayers? Or at least the way I think he should. We question God's miraculous power when it's staring us right there in the face. The fact that we believe in Jesus as our Savior from sin. The word is spoken. And it has created faith in our hearts, in our lives. It does so every time that God's word is shared in a public service, or at home in our family devotions, or in our personal devotions each morning and evening. And now that the Lord has brought us to faith, like Mary, we are to be like Mary. She never doubted. She told the people to be ready to do whatever he told them. We must be ready to do what Jesus tells us. Now that we've seen Jesus for who he really is, we are to do what he says. And that can only come as we listen to his word. Each day, we're celebrating the Messianic feast with the better wine. And it all begins with our reading of the scriptures in the privacy of our homes or in a quiet place. The Lord comes to us and reveals his glory, the glory of the cross, and he enables us to obey. We're beginning to see the start of an incredible celebration. A celebration that puts a mere earthly wedding to shame. Marriages and wine were always symbols in the ancient scriptures for the messianic feast to come. Jesus is the bridegroom, come to his own messianic banquet. And certainly he has power as he changes the water into wine to reveal his glory. But that's not his greatest display of power. Jesus will say on several occasions, just like in our gospel text, that his hour is not yet come. Now, eventually, we'll come to see that this hour is the moment of his death. John wants us to understand that what is, from a mere human standpoint, a terrible, violent death is with eyes to see. The moment of Jesus' glorification. When he wins the victory over the powers of sin and evil. When he says, "It is finished." In other words, his glory is not fully revealed until he reveals his power over one last great force in this universe. Death. With his death on the cross, Jesus brought that battle to a close. And revealed real glory. Power over the forces even of death. The hour is the hour of the cross. There is a glory hidden on that cross that will surpass what happened at Mount Sinai. Yes, a voice may have boomed down from the mountain to the children of Israel, but as John already told us in our last chapter, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. As we celebrate Epiphany season, we are celebrating the manifestation of God come in ordinary human flesh, and yet hidden, seen only to the eyes of faith. It is that faith that will sustain us in times of trial and testing, and in the greatest trial, when we face death. For at that very moment, we will see his glory yet again. With our very own eyes. As we await that day, in the meanwhile, we're glad when he tells us to fill the jars with water to the brim.